You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
My own sense is there's going to be a great revival that's coming, and a lot of these that are in the category of the nuns, somewhere in the neighborhood of 32% of the population, we're going to see that begin to now. It's plateaued, and now I think we're going to see it decrease, where more and more people are going to be seeking to affiliate.
Community.
Yeah.
And maybe church has a pejorative term. Maybe we should say community.
Well, it's so interesting. You know, these terms, Rhett.
Words.
And no matter what word you choose, eventually someone's going to find out, you know, it's going to find some pejorative sense of it, and they're going to try to change the word, right? Mm. It's like you find, evangelical right now. Everybody, you know, thinks that evangelical is, they've made that out to be a pejorative term. Mm. So evangelical.
Well, they try to put everybody together in one tribe. And you've got people who are in a tribe who say, hey, I'm starting a church, and guess what? We're all going to wear blue shirts with white collars, and right. Women can't wear makeup. I mean, men are always trying to start these tribal things. Oh, yeah. I mean, I've had people in town here. They go to a church out west of town on Route 60 or 33rd, and this older lady says, well, we believe we're all going to heaven and everyone else is going to hell. Mm. I mean, the Catholics used to believe that. You know, there was a time when, you know, if you were a Catholic and you went into somebody else's church, you were going to go to hell or something. It was an abomination to God, you know. Jesus, look at the Samaritans. When you mention, if you were a Jew and you mentioned a Samaritan, you spit on the ground. And if you were Samaritan and mentioned a Jew, you spit on the ground. Mm-hmm. And so here Jesus, you know, goes up to the Samaritan woman and ministers to her. Or he tells the story about the Good Samaritan who found the Jew who was, bleeding on the road and takes him in. He says, who do you think there was a priest? You know, there's a scribe, but there's whatever, and there's this guy. Who was the neighbor to mm-hmm. the guy? Well, the priest just walked by, or maybe said, "I'll pray for you," and kept on walking. And the scribe, you know, or the Pharisee, whatever. And then comes this guy on with his mule, takes the Jewish guy, puts him on his mule, takes him to an inn, pays his room in advance, and says, "If he needs any medicines, go ahead, and I'll be back. You can charge me," because that's in the days when a man's word was his bond. Mm-hmm. So, and he was a Samaritan helping a Jew.
Right. Yep. The one who showed mercy. Yeah. And but my point before about evangelicals, like, so evangelical, that term has been, in essence, has been slimed by a left-wing media. And I think in part because the evangelicals have shown overwhelming support towards Donald Trump. And so many people now they don't want to self-identify as evangelical because, I don't want to be
categorized
as those people who, you know, supported the president or whatever. So you'll find people say, oh, we don't like that term anymore, so I'm going to call myself a Christ follower.
Well, you can understand, if I was a liberal, I can understand he's a radical guy. He's erratic at times. He's been very human. You know, that thing, he's talking to guys on the bus and they have the recording which says, I grab a woman, you know, that's, you know, I mean, but what guy with a bunch of guys hasn't maybe said something? Do you ever walk away from something and say, gosh, I wish I didn't say that? You don't have to say anything. You're a preacher, so we got to keep you clean and wholesome. But I know even on the air, I've been on the radio for 31 years.
Right.
And I've said things just to get the ha 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 of the moment, to milk the moment, you know, and say something that's really not my essential character. And then regretted it later. So why did you say that?
Right.
You know, that's not nice. And so whatever Trump's problem is, my conjecture on my part is the guy was hurt somehow when he was young. Mm-hmm. So he's a very loving, giving person. I've met his daughter, met his son, you know, and I've yet to meet him face to face. But from what I ascertained, I have had a lot of people on my show in 31 years, like people who won that TV show that he was on, The Apprentice. They got to ask him questions. That's part of the rule. If you win, you get. And he's helped a lot of people secretly.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, so he's not a bad guy. And he certainly hired a lot of black people. Anybody that tells you that Trump is a racist is a bunch of baloney. He won an award from the NAACP or whatever it is years ago. Of course, he used to be a Democrat. But yes, I understand how you would be offended
about the self-identifying. So this is, it kind of works into this whole thing. Like, people don't want to identify with any particular group because all of these various groups, you know, carry their own baggage. Yeah. So I'm just going to self-identify as a nun so that I can...
N-O-N-E.
So that I can be free of the baggage associated with these names.
Well, it is true. When Charlie Kirk was killed, I remember online there were a bunch of people saying all these hateful things. And I said, wait a second. Are you Christians? I said, while that young man is still breathing, there's a chance for him to be converted and become... Look what happened to Charles Colson. The guy go under Nixon, goes to jail, gets converted. Of course, at first, a lot of the other guys in the White House district were saying, I don't trust that guy. But he was truly converted and ended up working the remaining years of his life helping prisoners come to know the Lord and supplying Bibles to prisons. And the guy had a true conversion. I mean, this guy who shot Charlie Kirk, while he has breath, he could still be converted to Jesus. And really, you know, it's like, you know, oh, we want to stab him with 1,000 knives. No. Yeah. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
Right.
You're called to love.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's difficult. Like, we've seen it many, many times. You know, you have jailhouse conversions, right? People call it a jailhouse conversion. And then they question whether or not, you know, it was heartfelt or whatever. But I'm with you. I'm with you. You know, of course, that young guy. And of course, you're innocent until proven guilty. But, you know, if indeed he did do it, then yeah, there's always hope until you take that last breath that he will come to Christ.
I wonder if there's a way to reach these nuns, these N-O-N-E's. In other words, the people are reticent maybe to come to what is a quote unquote church because they think they're going to get, they think conversion to Jesus means conversion to being religiosity, being religious. And it was the religious people that killed Jesus. Jesus didn't come to start a new religion. He came to create relationship. And the religion of the Jews was all set up so they would usher in the coming Messiah. God gives, this is my take, God gives the Ten Commandments. Nobody can keep them. They're all fallen. You know, so you know, oh, geez, I kind of messed up on that one. And so all of a sudden he says, well, okay, so you didn't make it on your own. So, well, oh, you have need of intervention. Okay, well, I will come and be born. I will die on the cross for your sins. And all you need to do is accept my eternal friendship and the price that I paid on the cross for your sins. But you can't just in a perfunctory manner recite some little few words and think you're born again. If you don't know you're born again, this is Rhett Palmer speaking, I say you're not born again. Mm-hmm. Because when I got radically born again in my living room at the age of 29, I knew I was converted. And I've seen other people. There was a man sitting right here. He's now just died. He's a famous painter, Al Black, and he was addicted to crack cocaine. He said, Rhett, have you ever tried crack cocaine? I said, no, I never tried drugs like that. He said, well, it's the worst addiction in the world. And he said, he got 12 years in prison. He said it was the best years of his life because they liked his artwork. So they fed him steak and lobster, anything else he wanted for the 12 years. But anyway, he was addicted to cocaine when he gets into the prison. And he says this big ball of light came into the jail cell. Right. And he said, if you're Jesus, get even brighter. And it got so bright it consumed the whole room. And he said he was instantaneously and forever delivered from crack cocaine, instantly. Yeah. And I said, so have you had it? He said, nope, 36 years. And, you know, maybe he wasn't a perfect man. Otherwise, I don't know. But I know that he did not go back to crack cocaine. And he died declaring Jesus as his Lord and Savior.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
The only thing I would say, in other words, I totally agree in the sense that we want every person to be absolutely clear that they're born again. We want that for them. You must be born again, right? That's what Jesus says.
It's a heart. What is it for others? I mean, some people, I felt a peace and a supernatural sense, okay, that filled me up and changed me. But other people, maybe they don't need that. Maybe I'm like a doubting Thomas, so I needed an extra touch. But you'll know somehow that the switch has been switched.
The only thing, so here's what I would add to that, because having been a pastor now for, you know, some time, I've also met people along the way who always, for whatever reason, they always loved Jesus. They don't remember a time in their lives when they didn't know Jesus, right? Yeah. And so they didn't have this radical conversion experience because they grew up in the church, or they simply grew up always having a relationship with Jesus. And so what we want to do is we want to, you know, leave room for those people who they might say, I don't know if I really relate to the born again idea because I didn't have a radical conversion experience. I always loved and knew Jesus.
Well, I think that's the telltale sign. I get together with my lifelong friend, David Usher. What do we talk about? It's always Jesus, 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 Jesus. I get together with you. What do we talk about when we have lunch? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You want to talk about that which you love. Mm-hmm. So if he's our greatest love, you know, we want to not only talk about him, but talk about how do we do the will. And it's not by being religious, because remember he said on that day many will come to me, meaning at the day of judgment, I believe, and say, well, we did signs and wonders, and we had tent revivals, and we did this and that, and maybe we were on TV, and he said, we did miracles in your name. He says, I never knew you as a husband knows a wife. Depart from me forever. To others, he will say, you fed me when I was hungry, clothed me when I was naked, visited me in prison. And they will say, we don't remember you, Jesus. When did we do this for you? Well, sir, when you did it to the least of these, mine brethren, you were doing it unto me. Come in, for your reward is great. Now, does that mean it's a salvation of works? No. But works will follow true faith, will they not?
Mm-hmm.
And this is for all of us. You know, I talk about this stuff, too. I haven't been to our Father's soup kitchen in 10 years. I used to feed them over there. I kind of look like, okay, so you're doing the radio thing here, but what have you really done? Oh, you know, and you might help some homeless people a little bit here and there, but what have you really done? You know, it's easy to get into the mode of talking about stuff, you know, but what are you really doing, you know?
Yeah, but in fairness, Rhett, I mean, you're coming on the radio, you're doing podcasts every day, you're focusing on Jesus. I mean, you're doing your part. And it's not to say that it's not to say that you couldn't do more. I mean, all of us could do more, but not all of us have the gifts, the gift of gab, you know, to be able to go on the radio and to share openly.
But also, we must remember this. God has taught me there's no such thing as 1 million. There's only 1,000,001. So if you're called just to your neighbor down the street to minister the love of Jesus and you succeed at that, you have done the will of God for your life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's not always about numbers. It's feeding the one who's in front of you. Right. It's helping the one who's in front of you. You know, you go, well, I can't feed the world, that homeless. Well, why don't you just take care of that one homeless guy? Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for New Day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting. It's a new day.
Let the seas roar and all its fury. Let the world rejoice and all ring. Let the rivers clap their hands. In the mountains.